This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. Kathleen Reardon is a professor emerita at USC's Marshall School of Business. She's written extensively about women in the workplace and how to tackle sexist culture. Recently, she's been working to clarify our conversation that surrounds sexual harassment, which she sees as too vague. Professor, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, David.
You're working on a system to what? To categorize bad behavior in the workplace? Misdemeanor versus felony versus capital offense? That kind of thing?
Well, I wouldn't call it that. It's a range of degrees of offense, I would call it, offensiveness. And it is really to help people and organizations and women think about what kinds of behaviors constitute sexual misconduct and which types of behaviors are mistakes. You know, Aristotle, Aristotle said that there's a distinct difference between people who cause injury by mistake, or what he called misadventure, and those who are just wicked. And until we start to make those distinctions, a lot of very good people are going to lose their jobs.
So what's your thinking on this? Like, are you already framing some categories of not-so-bad behavior, worse behavior?
We begin to get in the offensive domain when we're denigrating women in some way with humor or in general, jokes about a woman's limited intellect or skills, words like ice queen. But we get into sexual misconduct when we're talking about grabbing women, unwelcome holding, crude jokes, describing women as sluts or frigid. And we move up into really egregious level when we're talking about pressing against a woman, you know, suggestively threatening her career if she doesn't sleep with the person, forcing or coercing women. We're very clearly then at the far end of the spectrum at that point. We need to make these distinctions, and then we need to make distinctions about what should be the response. Do we put a reprimand in somebody's file like the military does at times? Do we suspend someone? Do we give them a rap on the knuckles? Do we tell them one more of these and you're gone? Or do we just fire them? It will cause a great deal of angst among many men if they have to walk around fearful and they don't know what is over the line. So we have to take a sophisticated approach to this. And I am not saying women shouldn't come forward. I'm one of those people who put Me Too up on Facebook. I mean, all of us have had experiences, or most of us have. And we wonder sometimes, did we do enough? But we have to be intelligent about how we respond and not ruin people's lives lightly. But if they are deserving of being let go, we have to know that too.
But there are people listening, many of them will be women, who say, why do we have to worry if men are walking around fearful in this time of reckoning? The women have had to walk around fearful for most of their careers in many cases. Maybe the way to change the culture is for some of these guys to be very afraid.
I understand the sentiment. I don't agree with it. I've heard that this is our moment. But, you know, I'm old enough to remember quite a few moments that we've had as women that we have used wisely in many cases. And what I'm suggesting is that we use this one wisely. There should be some men that are fearful, and they need to change their ways, and there's no time like the present. But not everyone, no, certainly not. There's a lot of great, I've worked with a lot of great men over the years, and I've learn so much from them and their mentorship, and I would rather that we be able to hold on to that kind of a positive, constructive environment and build on it and separate out the people who deserve our anger and those who don't.
But another way to ask my question is, there may be some value in a zero tolerance policy, and if we think of different variations and shades of gray on workplace behavior, don't we lose the idea of we don't want to tolerate any of this?
Yeah, but what is this? We don't want to tolerate any of this means we have to define it. That's our obligation, and maybe social scientists like me have to do that, or get the ball rolling. Because we can't just say, oh, that's part of this, so you're gone. I don't think there's any gray area in my spectrum. It's more gradations. It will never be perfectly clear because human behavior, we always have nonverbal behaviors that go with things. We have tone. We have so many things to consider. But if we have criteria, guidelines that people can look at and say, oh, yeah, I think that falls within sexual misconduct area. I have to talk to someone about this. That helps.
So you're not decreeing this taxonomy of inappropriate behavior. You're not handing it down so that industry can adopt it lock, stock, and barrel. It's prompting a start of a discussion.
That's right. I don't want any organization to take this and say, all right, we have Kathleen Reardon's categories here, and we're using it just like it is. No. We need discussions. I've been teaching persuasion as well for years and studying it, researching it, and we know very clearly that unless people are involved in the development of guidelines or instructions, they are not likely to adhere to them. So what I recommend is that they take this first draft blueprint and work with it and move things around and add other examples so that they come up with a document that works for them. I would never say that this draft that I have works for every organization.
You can imagine lawyers at the company also being interested in this because some of the categories have different legal implications.
Absolutely, yes. I would hope that they would be looking at it and they would add to it their advice with regard to at what point does behavior become criminal behavior. And that's not my purview, but it certainly would go hand in hand with this kind of a spectrum.
Criminal behavior, but also there's something in between, which is cause for dismissal, which doesn't have to be a violation of the law.
Well, I'm trying to help them as well. I know they're very, you know, they work on this all the time. Human behavior is a messy thing. You know, we, even if we look at our children, we can't really say, oh, that's bad behavior and that's good behavior. And when we grow up, it's not too different. There are ranges of behavior, and some people are offended much more easily than others. But if we have some consensus, if we use our you know, the brains God gave us, and we have a consensus, we can begin to make some sense out of what has become a very difficult situation, and is bound to become even more difficult as time goes on.
So SSMW stands for what?
The Spectrum of Sexual Misconduct at Work.
Dr. Kathleen Reardon, Professor Emerita at USC's Marshall School of Business. Thank you.
Thank you very much, David.